I loved talking smack. I loved thinking that I was better than, and I did not allow a space for what I perceived as weakness. There is no standard operating procedure for home life or how to raise kids or be a good husband or father. I found myself in the deepest, darkest place that I've ever been in my life. And from that moment, sitting on the couch, when I said, I'm calling Marty, I'm done, I knew that I never had to drink again. It was all over. My wife, she's like, let's go to a meditation retreat in Carlsbad. I know that if I'm good on the inside, then I'll be good on the outside.
Welcome to Respond to Resilience, along with my co-host, Bonnie Rumeli. I'm David Dashinger. On this episode, we'll be speaking with John Vargo of O2X Human Performance about firefighter mental wellness. We'd like to invite you to like and subscribe. Our YouTube channel is Respond to Resilience. We're on Facebook, Respond to Wellness Inc., PBSRadio.com, Apple Podcasts, all the podcast platforms, and check out our website, ResponderTV.com, for past episodes and guest information. We'll be right back to speak with John after this.
In this family, more of us die by our own hands than by the hazards of the job. In this family, up to a quarter of 911 dispatchers have symptoms of PTSD. In this family, our mental health and wellness are in crisis while responders are quietly suffering. In this family, many struggle with job-related stress, burnout, trauma, sleep disruption, substance abuse, and marriage problems. In this family, we can help the helpers with vital information and resources, resilience strategies, and success stories of overcoming the obstacles. In this family, no one is alone. Welcome to Respond to Resilience with co-hosts retired Lieutenant David Dashinger, Dr. Stacy Raymond, and Bonnie Rumeli, LCSW EMTB.
And today we're joined by John Vargo. He's an account executive at O2X Human Performance. John joined O2X after a 20-year career with the Chandler, Arizona Fire Department. And after retiring from the fire department, John also formed Turnin, a 501c3 nonprofit organization to introduce first responders to meditation and performance through mindfulness. John's been a keynote speaker addressing first responder mental wellness for various state and city agencies across the country. And in 2021, John kicked off a podcast called the Inside Job Podcast, which focuses on wellness issues relating to the mind and body. And later in the show, John will be sharing a powerful loving kindness meditation. John, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. It's fun being on the other side of the the camera, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share my experience, and hopefully it'll give hope or a way out for somebody else. So, yeah, grateful to be
Excellent.
Here.
Excellent. Let's dive in.
It's nice to meet you, John. Thanks.
Yeah. Great to meet you.
Thank you. So without further ado, can you tell us about the arc of your career in terms of your emotions, the beginning of the career, the middle, and then towards the end?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and essentially a lot of my friends, dads and family and football coaches, and they were all in the fire service. And and so after I graduated high school, I was like, all right, this looks like the path for me. And so went to the appropriate college classes and then started that career path at that point and started testing everywhere. And I ended up getting hired with the City Chandler Fire Department, which is a suburb of Phoenix. And they're about a department of 225 or so sworn personnel, at least when I left. So I think they're probably about that still, but anyhow, I had a great career. I was the youngest guy to get hired on the department at that time, and was motivated and promoting and became a paramedic and, you know, involved with the department and was thriving, needless to say. But over time, started to slip away from me. And I would say probably about 10 years or so on, I know the biggest problem, one of the bigger problems was myself and my ego. And I ended up being on a crew that we were together for many years, just the four of us. And there was probably, I want to say it was at least 8 years or so we were on the same truck. And it got to the point where it was good. It was, and we were very competent at our job, but we also fell into this ego, and we thought we were better then. And you know, and really, and I'm going to need to stop saying we, because they may not feel the same way, but I really created a toxic work environment, and I thrived on that. I loved talking smack. I loved thinking that I was better than, and I did not allow a space for what I perceived as weakness in others. And so in accompanying with that, I would be the first one to like, say, maybe you're not doing it right. Or why isn't the administration doing this? Or why isn't the union supporting us this way? And I wasn't really so focused on the solution to all the things that were going on. I mean, later in my career, I did join different committees and was involved with the union and stuff like that. But more than not, I probably wasn't the best supporter of certain things. But then with that, within the fire service, and I don't want to, you know, it's not for everyone, but my drinking really kind of picked up a lot more and more and more and more. And so as my career progressed, you know, I started slipping more, started falling into more depression. And towards the end of my career, probably about maybe 17 years on or so, really started being more irritable and angry and reacting to things and, you know, unprovoked. And, you know, example I give and I talk about often was just like that transition home for me. Like I would, like at the station, everything was like, even though, you know, you had no idea what you were going to do, but there was still a set of like guidelines or principles and you know, standing operating procedures that we were following. And you know that you had the capabilities of your crew to support you. Well, during the drive home, I had a 40-minute drive home. Well, that's when I would let my guard down. And then all this anxiety and, you know, anxiousness would start bubbling up. And by the time I got home, I was not the same person who left. And when I walked in, there is no standard operating procedure for home life or how to raise kids or be a good husband or father. And so if there were like, for example, dishes in the sink, I would lose my shit on that. Like, what have you been doing here for the last 2 days besides raising the kids, working a full-time job and trying to like, you know, keep the peace? you know, so that just, you know, it was something that simple, like, well, I just left the station and it was clean and now I should come home to this. And so I didn't necessarily have the best coping mechanisms for that transition home. And then on my days off, I've always had a side job. So many years, I was a real estate agent. I was probably about 15 years of that. So I did have a busy days off to keep me occupied, if you will. But again, I'll go back to the alcohol, and that became essentially, you know, my go-to. Like, oh, let's go grab lunch. And then, you know, well, we got 4 days off, and I could always justify a reason to go drink, whether it was someone's promotion or, you know, retirement or whatever the deal may be. Well, at that 17 year mark, my wife's like, hey, you have an anger problem. You should go. I highly recommend you go and speak with somebody about what's going on. So I reach out to the city's EAP program at that time, and hopefully it's different now. It's been years. But it was, you had a list of maybe 10 docs and only like three of them are taking new patients. And the three that are taking new patients, you are not going to be able to see you for, you know, weeks, maybe months, you know? And if you're lucky, maybe they're culturally competent on what they're talking about or understanding what it's like to be a firefighter and the struggles that we're going to deal with. So for me, I was like, oh, great, honey, I called them and, you know, I'm making progress steps to them. And I never followed up with it because I didn't have an anger problem. You know, that was her perception, which obviously was not right. So we ended up moving to San Diego when I had 19 years on. And I was just kind of one of these things. It was... I had an opportunity to work out here with another business that I was doing. And so I commuted from my last year of work at 20 years and flew back and forth every week. And that started to have, you know, a little bit of a effect on me. Needless to say, I was gone three nights a week, the traveling. And really, I mean, it's like, and I understand first responders across the country, it's like some of them were work 5-9 days in a row. So like, wah, John, we were gone three nights a week. But it didn't set me up for success. You had just more time in an airport drinking beer or whatever I was going to do. So I ended up, I decided to retire when I was at 20 years. And I knew that was always kind of like part of the plan, but so I'm like, all right, I'm going to retire. I'm living in San Diego. Life's amazing. And, you know, I'm going to move forward with my life. I'm 43 years old. You know, I got plenty of opportunity, many things out here. And the business that I was working on ended up in a lawsuit with the manufacturer. And it's so needless to say that didn't go anywhere. And then it left me with no purpose, no identity. And there comes those walls of 20 years of putting stuff aside and not dealing with anything and having my ego run the show. And that's when everything came collapsing down on me.
So here we are, you're hitting bottom, and what happened next? What, you know, what brought you out of that space of negativity and ending the career and alcohol? What was, you know, where did you go from there?
Okay. Yeah. So, so October of 2017, this was, you know, I retired in July of 2017, and that is like when I had been drinking pretty hard since retirement. I mean, probably every day. And then being in San Diego, it was a lot of people visiting from Arizona. So it was like their vacation and my vacation essentially got extended for like 6 months.
Right.
But I was, I found myself in the deepest, darkest place, that I've ever been in my life. And it was, just total desperation, hopelessness. I just remember sitting on my bed in my room. I mean, we could see the ocean from the house, and I'm like, I should be the happiest person right now, but I'm the most miserable person right now. And, and my life would be better if I was not in my life. And at that point, like those thoughts of like, I hadn't experienced that, you know, suicidal ideations before. And it was just like, This is not good. So, I ended up reaching out to, I'm not going to say any names, but it, you know, National Fire Resource to us for help. And, so I took the call, told him what was going on. He's like, are you in a safe space? I'm like, yeah, is there someone there? Yes. You know, are you going to do anything? I'm like, no, but I'm like, I'm experiencing these thoughts. I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know what's going on. And took all my information, insurance and everything. And then, essentially it died off from there. There was no real follow through. There was no, I mean, it was just kind of like ended. Hmm. And I'm like, well, that's lame. but it was just, I didn't know what to do. I just didn't know what resources were available to me. I'm in a different state now. I was kind of not intentionally separated, but I just didn't have the resource and network that I needed. So, we have a good friend, let me rewind here. My wife, she's like, we need to, she could see it. Right. And she saw the writing on the wall. I'm not right. I'm not healthy. And by that point I gained, you know, more weight when at retirement and moving on. And so she reached out to a friend of ours who's involved with the Chopra Center. and as a meditation instructor, and try to get information more about that. And so Danielle, my wife, she's like, let's go to a meditation retreat in Carlsbad at Chopra Center, Deepak Chopra facility over here. And so there happened to be one in December, and you know, I'm like, okay, I'm down. Like I don't want to be this way anymore. I need to change. Something needs to happen. And so I went willingly to participate in this 4-day thing. And then our friends that, that she reached out to, they ended up joining us. And her husband is, like, he's a man's man. Like, he grew up, made his way through the ranks of the construction industry in concrete. And he's like, hey man, this has been the most impactful thing in my life, essentially saved my marriage. And, we'd love to join you guys if you'd like to, you know, if you could be here with us. So, like, absolutely. So that weekend, I think it was a 4-day retreat. I don't remember, but, 3 or 4 days, but anyways, it was, we stayed there, and that was the first time in, God, I don't even remember, 20 years, maybe not that long, but like, where I actually found like peace. I actually felt like peace. And I was just like settled, and the anxiousness was subsided. And I just knew at that moment, like, all right, I have to bring this to, started out as firefighters and then expanded, but I need to bring this out. Like, I didn't know about meditation. Like, no one's talking about meditation at a fire station. Maybe they are now, but like, there's no, like, what's mindfulness and who's Deepak? You know, like, what is all this business? And like, we had one guy doing yoga and, you know, at the station, mm-hmm. and he would just get ridiculed or whatever, but mm-hmm. it was, so I'm like, I need to bring this forward. So I ended up meeting with, the Chopra, mm-hmm. Staff there. And I'm like, hey, this is my experience with it. This is where I want to go with it. Mm-hmm. Can you help me? And then they ended up connecting me with a good friend of mine, Michelle Cole, Dr. Cole. She's a clinical psychologist who was running the program for veterans. It was called Meditation. And so, yeah, it's an awesome group there. So we ended up, so I essentially modeled initial stages of Turn In, my nonprofit, after what they were doing. And so I formed Turn In, and my wife helped me find that name. And it's obviously a play on turnouts, returning in, mm-hmm. And that's where I found that peace was inside. And the more over the years and years and years of being involved with all this, everything that I've been doing, that's, I know, is my safe sanctuary where I can find peace. And that's, mm-hmm. I know that if I'm good on the inside, then I'll be good on the outside. And so a lot changed for me over those years. So I ended up becoming a meditation instructor through Chopra, going through mm-hmm. their classes, and we had our first meditation retreat, first responder retreat, in August of 2018 at the Chopra Center. And so we worked with meditation. So there's like 15 of us total between first responders and veterans. And then there was 200 meditation folks from, like, that were at this retreat, right, for the one that we're doing in August, which is not a good, not a good model, because now you have essentially 200 women and 15 guys, and they're like, oh my God, look at these enlightened heroes. it was pretty funny, honestly. But a lot of good stuff came out of that. Right. And so mm-hmm. there's some good stories that I'll always mm-hmm. keep close to my heart, that guys that were there that had impact on their lives. Like, they experienced some of the stuff that I got to experience, you know, months mm-hmm. earlier.
When it comes to occupational cancer exposures, members of the fire service are some of the highest risk professionals nationwide. Firefighters Against Cancer and Exposures, also known as the FACES Foundation, is an advocacy organization established to bring awareness, resources, and peer support to responders in need of additional help in battling potential cancer diagnoses or critical concerns. The FACES Foundation was established by a national alliance of first responders to offer supplemental resources for firefighters. One of its core initiatives is cancer awareness in the form of prevention and early detection, supporting vigilance about occupational cancers and cancer recurrence through our national Get Checked Now campaign. Also, the FACES Foundation publishes a major public catalog of resources for the many areas of need, including information on clinical and mental health therapies, benefits and compensations, funding sources and financial strategies. For more information, please visit the FACES website at facesusa.org.
So at that point, growing TurnIn, we would do different fundraisers. I would work with a lot of guys individually, teaching them about meditation and mindfulness. And so part of my meditation is I'll start off my meditation with, you know, who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? And what am I grateful for? And I'll think about those things. And what do I want? Well, what do I want? One of those things on there was, I want to stop drinking. And I had never really made any effort towards that. I wasn't not an everyday drinker, but I was definitely a binge drinker. And when it was time to drink, it's go time. And I would be the last one standing and first one up in the morning, ready to rock and roll the next day, especially if we were out of town or we were doing. But it was probably about a year and a half of the meditation and working with TurnIn and doing that stuff. And finally someone, a family member, he's like, hey, you're kind of a hypocrite. You're saying that all this stuff's helping you out, but you're still getting tore up on the weekends. And I don't know, I think it's kind of weak. And that, oh man, it pissed me off. Cause don't you know the good I'm doing? I can do what I want, you know, on the weekends. And that kind of like just stuck home, you know, stuck a little bit. And so that seed was planted there, and there was probably about 4.5 million seeds planted along the way for me over like 30 years of doing this. And you know, all the insanity surrounding that. So I'll fast forward to about a year and a half in from starting TurnIn. My son was snowboarding in Big Bear. He had some friends come in town from Sacramento. We're in San Diego. And so he ends up getting hurt like on a Friday snowboarding. And I'm like, hey, man, I'll run up there and grab you. And he's like, no, I'm fine. It's fine. I'll be good. And so those friends come in town. I end up going out with them on Saturday, partying, get home, like poured myself in probably like 2:30 in the morning, whatever. And then my wife and daughter had a volunteer thing that they had to do on Sunday morning. So they're leaving and I'm like, Dylan's out of town. I'm like, well, guess I better go to the beach bar and go hang out, watch football and drink beer. Or maybe it wasn't football. It didn't matter what was on TV, but it was, I probably got there like around noon and then like at around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe it was a little earlier than that. I don't remember, but one of my wife's friends was there and she's like, John, you're drunk. And I've already called Danielle and she's on her way to get you. So she had to leave her event. And so she comes home, she picks me up, takes me home. Of course we get in this big fight and then I pass out on the couch. Well, I wake up like at 4 a.m. on the morning on the couch and there's crutches in the living room where I was sleeping. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? And so then I'm like, I found some discharge papers for my son there. And there was, he broke his ankle. And that was the worst feeling I think I've ever experienced. I'm like thinking, you know, here I am, Mr. Firefighter, paramedic, dad, you know, not like I could have done anything, but I couldn't be there for him. I couldn't be there for him, you know? And I mean, I couldn't take him to the hospital. I couldn't be there to support him. And so it was just like, my wife had to do it all. And, you know, he comes home with a broken leg and dad's passed out on the couch. Like, what a freaking loser I am. And, so for that following week, no one was talking to me in the house, you know, great, you know, rightfully so. And then my thinking was, how long do I have to wait before I can start gradually introducing alcohol again into my life? Because this was a good one and we'll have to wait to, you know, slowly work it in before I could screw it up again down the road. Well, a good friend of mine at the gym, we both had a common connection of meditation. And so we'd go run and do different stuff together. And I knew he was in recovery. And so that morning, the week later, my wife's looking at me on the couch. She's like, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to I'm going to call my friend. And so I reached out, texted him. I'm like, hey, you got any time this weekend to talk about my alcoholism? You know, and he's like, yeah, man, I'll meet you in 1 hour in Cardiff. And so, and from that moment, sitting on the couch, when I said, I'm calling Marty, I'm done, I knew that I never had to drink again. It was all over. Like, it was all over. And it was the best feeling. Like, it was this tremendous weight that had been lifted from me. And it was done. And gosh, and so I've never looked back. And now it's, I'm coming up on 4 years here in the next few months, but, you know, that leveled me up within my health for sure. And then after that, I ended up losing like 35 pounds, you know, just from not drinking and being more active and not being depressed. And, but, you know, but the alcohol, as I look back through my career, like, alcohol was always a problem for me. And it's very prevalent in the fire service. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it, but I definitely did it a lot harder than a lot of the guys I worked with. And, you know, there are guys out there that can drink responsibly and have a few drinks and, you know, and call it good. Like, I could never do that. And so for me, coping with like the stressors of the job was an easy out with the alcohol, and then just adding more depressant really to that fire of like, how did I ever expect to get healthy? But I wasn't in my right frame of mind. And, so now I spend a lot of time working individually with first responders and just being, you know, I'll sponsor them in the 12-step program or you know, just work with them around mindfulness and a lot of just like sharing what I'm sharing today. Like they can relate to, yeah, man, I'm the same way. Like, yeah, I get pissed off at home. I don't know how to act at home. I don't want to yell at my kids, but I do. And it just happens. And, so yeah, it's, so that's kind of where, how I'm here right now.
I unloaded 32 years of emotion.
This job isn't a joke, and it can hurt you.
How does yoga or meditation help with that?
Coming to terms with who you are.
You know, nobody calls us because they're having a good day.
It's really the suicide that becomes a huge issue.
People are more trustworthy with the dog.
Sleep deprivation helps them either be better or worse.
Completely secretive when we started this.
So it's pretty much taboo.
Take care of the people next to you.
First responders really being open about what they're struggling with.
If we know that, let's raise awareness.
Brings you together to talk about it, and it tells you you're not alone.
I've had so many different thoughts listening to your story, and one of them is it always amazes me how people don't realize that alcohol is gas on a fire. Mm-hmm. If you already have depression, you already have anxiety, it's just going to propel those things further on. And yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize how much it impacts that until they stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think it's a huge, huge issue for first responders. We talk about it on this show. Stacy and I and our colleagues see it in our offices, but to have you shed light on that piece is really important. Because I think if someone's listening and you're describing them, they may have to take a hard look at what they're doing and why.
Yeah.
And the other piece about retiring, Stacy and I call it flood, like the floodgates open when retirement happens because the go time is gone. The 100 miles an hour, 24 hour days are no longer. And so what you're left with is your thoughts. And once your brain is settling into this kind of new pattern, we see this flood where a lot comes back from the entire career. And I think that's why people have so much difficulty in that first year or two. The suicidal thoughts, unfortunately, they're not uncommon. So you've touched on a lot of the things that we see and we know are an issue. And I think what's good about you being so open is people can look at it honestly and be prepared. And take a hard look at their life. And instead of being in denial or saying, that's not me, maybe it is you.
Yeah. Yeah. I never thought that I had any issue. Like I would be, you could probably talk to some folks that I worked with and they would be like, Vargo, like, no way, that guy was always bouncing off the walls happy or whatever it was. But right. It was like, I didn't expect this.
Right.
No way. Yeah, I came. You're right. It is. It is the flood. There's no doubt about it. And be prepared. It's coming.
Has it come for you yet, David?
it comes in waves for sure. And, I guess in a way, like, you do have to face demons in retirement. And it is very easy to push them back and push them aside when you're responding and you're part of that, you know, firehouse family.
Right.
When you have that mission and purpose. And then when that all kind of fades away, sometimes rather rapidly,
right.
then it's like, okay, who am I? You know, what's this part of me that I haven't been looking at for this
right.
whole career?
Right.
And how do I deal with it? And it's, you know, unless you actively seek out the tools or are fortunate enough to have somebody come and show you the way, it's like a minefield. There's really no, you know, the way out is not clear. At least it takes some effort. So John, you know, my hat's off to you for sharing your journey so honestly, and also the fact that you found a way out. And I'd love for you to talk more about TurnIn in terms of the responders that you bring in and you sponsor or that you bring to meditation type events. Mm-hmm. What's the buy-in? And is there a stigma when, you know, first responders are going to a meditation event? Is it something that they're open to talking about, or they kind of like want to keep it on the QT and does it have to be confidential?
Yeah. That's all great points. So TurnIn has evolved from where I was at to where we are today. And so originally it was like to get those guys to come to that first retreat in August was definitely a stretch. And the guys that did come were buddies. They were guys supporting me. And that's what I need to see. But I thought I was like helping them. They were helping me. They were standing by me while I put this together. And like, they were so blown away by that first one that I wasn't going to drink. If I make it a dry weekend, like through the retreat, I'm like, hey, we're not drinking for 4 days here, guys. And they were like, oh shit. Like Margo's not going to drink. Draw them. What's going on there in sunny San Diego? It's messing with his head. So it's what the only way that, that I can only show buy-in with this is through my own actions and how I've changed. And so the guys that have been through my programs or experienced some of the retreats, it's how they changed. And so they get approached, whether it's in the apparatus bay, it's never in front of everybody at the dinner table. It's, hey, one of the guys walking out to take his turn outside the truck or whatever. And it's like, hey, what's going on with you? Why are you acting different? What's going on? What's Vargo doing? Like, how did this help you? And so that has come a long way. And then really getting across the science of the meditation and not like debunk, you know, like, hey, this is not a woo woo thing. This is science. Like, this is like straight up flushing your prefrontal cortex full of blood and taking away from the amygdala and all these stresses, hormones. Like, it's, there's science behind it. You can read about it. There's just thousands of, you know, data out there that show this, right? So I can take that approach. So over the course of it, it started off with a lot of Chopra stuff. And then, we evolved to, I don't want to say evolved, just changed routes, because I do both. We went to UC San Diego has a program called MPEAK. It's Mindful Performance Enhancement, Awareness, and Knowledge. And that was developed by the neuroscientists at USD, University of California, San Diego. And there's an Olympic Training Center down here in Chula Vista. And so there's a BMX team that trains down there. And so that program started with that. And it was all around mental performance. And then being mindful and, you know, non-attachment and non-judgment and accepting outcomes. And so, so I started teaching that and then doing that more as a focus, a lot more science talked about in that than some of the other stuff that I'd done. But then where I found the most, where I've enjoyed the most and where we put our attention in the last couple of years is doing couples retreats. Mm-hmm. And so, because of the buy-in was harder to get people to go, I'm like, well, I'll tap the spouse. Like, you know, I'll be like, hey, let's, you know, oh, my wife wants me to go to this, or whatever, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to do it. It's cool, whatever. But we did one day retreats, and those are awesome. And so those retreats look like we'll start the day off with acro yoga. And so I don't know if you're familiar with any of that. I sure was not. But we have our instructor who does that, Kendall Wood. She's her her fiance is, it works for Cal Fire, and she does all the yoga instruction for Cal Fire in the Southern District here in California. And, but it's so much fun, because now you have like people like balancing on each other that have never done it before. And so it builds this trust, and it's playful. And so it's a great way to start the day. And then we'll bring in, and then we'll piggyback off that with like journaling and discussion and, you know, asking questions, to journal in about, like, you know, what are you stressed about today? You know, and not even stressed. We took that word out. Like, what are you worried about today, and how can I support you? So we can use that example when we're doing, like, for the dishes example, if there were dishes in the sink, when I came home, I could say, hey, Danielle, what are you worried about today? Well, I'm worried that I didn't get the dishes done. And I know that's important to you, but, you know, I've just been busy with the kids and blah, blah, blah. She doesn't have to make excuses, but she's like, this is what I'm feeling. All right. Well, how can I support you? Mm-hmm. Well, can you do the dishes for me today? Can you just knock those out before you go take a nap or whatever you're going to do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that for you. You know, and then vice versa. John, mm-hmm. what are you worried about today? Well, I was up all night running calls and I'm done. So what can I do? Well, you know, how can I support you, John? Well, I really need to take a nap. So if you could just kind of keep the kids in the other room for just a little bit, and then mm-hmm. I can be a better father, husband. So we kind of like go down that road of creating that. And then we'll bring in like a Wim Hof. I don't know if you're familiar with like Wim Hof breathing or yep. uh-huh. like breath work mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring in a Wim Hof trained breath work individual, and we'll go through that. And that's a lot of fun too. So then we talk about the science of what's going on with the breath work and the feeling that you're experiencing. And then the best part for me is we'll do, an ice bath. So,
wow.
So we do these at,
with the couple in the same bath.
We've done that.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
My wife and I have been in that one, and then we've done, or then we'll have like two side by side. And, my wife, she's like, cause she knows what's going on when I'm planning the stuff. She's like, I'm not getting in that damn thing. I'm like, come on, do it. And so, which she did it. She did it. And so I'm like, how was it? She was like, that was worse than I thought it would be. I'm like, oh, great. Like, it wasn't supposed to be like that. But that's just another fun way. And then it just how, you know, how the good it makes you feel. So then now there's a lot of group bonding going on after that. And then we'll do an afternoon segment, just depending on what's going on, like what instructor we can do, depending on where we're at or what we're doing. So that's kind of up in the air. And then I'll guide a meditation and give it like an hour long meditation class of just, you know, taking them through it. And then I'll guide them through like a 20-25 minute meditation. And then we'll have like a closing ceremony and wrap it up. And that has been by far the most supported, most talked about, the way that we can get in. And my idea too with that was like introducing them to all these different modalities of wellness, that it didn't have to just be the meditation. Like, we can do yoga or, mm-hmm. and then giving the spouse or significant other the ability to experience that. So they mm-hmm. understand, like, you know, I'm coming home off shift. I'm like, hey, I need to go to mm-hmm. wherever to go do breath work and ice bath before I come home. And she's experienced that, or he's experienced that. Okay, I get home, do my thing. Okay, I need to go to yoga or do my meditation in the afternoon when the kids are whatever. But like, so it's a way to build that, yeah. you know, trust and understanding of that. So yeah, that's where TurnIn has gone. So I took on a new career in, with O2X Human Performance. And that was, so since that time, Turnin, I haven't been able to focus as much time on that as before, but I still work a lot with individuals depending on, you know, what their needs are and, you know, help try. Cause that's, at the end of the day, that really fills my cup to be to give that direct impact, give that back to people.
Can you talk about the mission of O2X? Because I'm not familiar with it.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I can give a overview of what it is. And so O2X was founded about 10 years ago by three Navy SEALs, and they saw a need for essentially all the problems that were stemming from occupational health injuries. And so they were approached by Boston Fire to come in and take a look at like some orthopedic, like shoulder injuries or something like that. Well, in their deep dive into finding out and researching all the causes of injury, they discovered cardiac problems, substance abuse, mental wellness issues, like all of these occupational health things that are accompanied with being a first responder, tactical athlete. That's a term that that's used now. And so that's what really stemmed from that. And so from these guys being on the teams, they had access to mental performance people, nutritionists, physical therapists, like this whole human performance team. But from my understanding, it wasn't necessarily like there was not a, like a systematic approach to how that was delivered. And so that's what they're doing now. And so on the East Coast, we're pretty big on the East Coast. So we're based in the Boston area, and we have a lot of business in the DC area. So we're involved with mostly all the three letter agencies, FBI, DEA, Marshals, Secret Service. We do a lot of work with like Army, Navy, I do a lot of workshops out here with the Navy, with the ships. The way a workshop structure looks is we have a lead instructor, and that lead instructor is somebody that's, so our lead instructor for that one was a prior Delta, operator sniper. So he gets buy-in immediately from his past, and then that's how we structure that. It's like, we're not going to stick someone up there that's not culturally competent or doesn't, you know, it's not going to earn their, you know, just by their work that they've done. Right. So the company has a lot of prior SEALs, a lot of special ops guys like that. So a lot of times they'll run point on leading the workshop. And then we'll break down the workshop into injury prevention. So we're going to have a physical therapist come in and teach about injury prevention, proper preparation, different tools to use, how to work out, you know, properly, functionally. We could have a strength conditioning coach there doing the same as well. And then, and the importance of recovery after you're done working out. And so what we're able to break down with a lot of these cities we work with is the injury prevention side and saving these cities literally millions of dollars because now they're not experiencing all these injuries and the time off and the backfill and all that stuff. So, so we'll cover injury prevention. We'll have a nutritionist come in and all of our subject matter experts that we have at workshops are, they're full-time doing this. This is their career. This is their life. So, for example, our nutritionist that we use a lot on the West Coast, she works for Navy Health Research. She travels around the country working with all their different Marines, Navy, and, you know, Naval Special Warfare. And then she'll come, we'll contract with her to come and teach the portion of the nutrition. So extremely cultural competent. She has a, you know, she's one of 350 subject matter experts that we have around the country that we can use. And then we'll get into mental performance. So we'll have a sports psychologist come and speak. We'll have mental resiliency specialists. We'll have a neuroscientist come and speak on sleep and the importance of that. It's anything. So our motto, eat, sweat, thrive. So the fuel we put in our body and, you know, when to fuel, how to fuel. We talk about caffeine intake. We talk about alcohol. We like, we're not saying don't do any of this stuff, but now we're giving you the education behind it of like why you maybe shouldn't drink more than 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. And this is the effects of alcohol on your body. And then like with the sleep, we'll talk about like, we understand that being a first responder, you're going to get up in the middle of the night, Like, well, what are ways to optimize sleep on your day off? Or like ways to prep yourself to get ready for sleep or different, you know, things around that. And then, you know, what happens when you don't have sleep? Like, what's the cognitive mm-hmm. decline of not being able to rest?
Yep.
And so there's just so much information that's covered over this 3-day workshop. And so I'm just like unbelievable training, best I've had in 25 years. And then I was approached by O2X at that point. Like, would you be interested in working for the company in some capacity? You could teach, you know, some of the courses, or mm-hmm. we'd love to have you full time as business development. So I thought about it and I'm like, gosh, you know, is this what I want to do? Cause I kind of was working on other stuff but really at the end of the day, like my passion is to give back to the first responders, the stuff that I didn't have, I wasn't given information to. And the way I live my life now is the way that they, it was just like, I'm like, I do that. Like, this is my life. And so, how I fuel, how I eat, how I exercise, all of these things that they're teaching. And so if I can be the guy responsible for bringing a holistic wellness program to your department on the Western mm-hmm. United States, like, I'm in, sign me up. I'm like, I know that I could have, like, since I've worked for O2X, I've probably worked with over 1,000 tactical athletes, and I wouldn't be able to have done that with Turner, mm-hmm. you know? So, and then our end goal, where we've seen the most impact, is embedding a O2X employee within the department. So like Washington, DC, for example, they have 5 integrated specialists in their department. So they have a nutritionist, they have a strength conditioning coach, physical therapist. Then these, like the nutritionist, for example, will go around to the different stations, cook meals together, shop with the guys, shop with the crews, teach them about how many milligrams of protein you should be ingesting. And, you know, so putting them on a program, and the physical therapists are getting you know, the back to work program implemented. And so I think at DC, they've saved millions of dollars in cost savings that we're able to show, just from the return to work. And so now we have integrated specialists in, they're all over the place. They're in the National Guard, they're in the Navy mm-hmm. Reserve. I mean, we have them embedded in all these different places and, within the FBI. And so they're, all of our integrated specialist programs have, they don't go away. They only add to, like, they just keep on multiplying. So like Berkeley, public safety, they have a strength conditioning coach and the athletic trainer. And so the athletic trainer will go around to the different stations or police precincts and bring her table, and she will work on injuries, mm-hmm. that are preventing the, you know, like for me, I can speak of like when I was hurt on the job, what does that mean? That means I can't exercise, and I needed to exercise to release, to get it out. Right. So now I'm not exercising. I'm now, my depression's kicking up. I'm probably going to drink more. I would probably drink more anyways. And mm-hmm. then, you know, so it was like this progressive downhill. So like the sooner you could get back to exercise and working, mm-hmm. I mean, the healthier and happier I'm going to be. But I love it. I love working for O2X, cause it's like, I'm kind of back into being part of the team, which I missed being a part of the group. And then just being that round of caliber of folks is, I have nowhere else to go but up and learn from them. And I would encourage you to go to our O2X people site and to just kind of read the bios of the individuals.
It's incredibly impressive, and it just goes on and on and on. Like, how can they find, there's such an amazing group of professionals in there as part of O2X. And, I highly encourage anybody to check out the website. John, as we wrap up, would you be able to share with us a short meditation, and then we'll just share where people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, that sounds great. So we talked a little bit about this, and so I think the best thing I'd like to do today is something that maybe our listeners are not totally familiar with, and this is what we would call like a self-compassion meditation. Mm-hmm. And I learned this one from Dr. Amishi Jha. She wrote a book called Peak Mind, and she's a scientist down at University of Miami, and she has a mindfulness program down there. But we're going to just go through this meditation, and it'll just take several minutes here. But so if everyone, if you're wherever you're at, I mean, obviously, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're able to sit in a restful awareness, you know, sitting up straight, you can close your eyes. If you'd prefer to look down with your eyes at a 45 degree angle, that's fine too. But just starting with a deep inhale into the abdomen through your nose. Audible exhale. And now just allowing yourself to just rest in this space. Nothing to do. Nowhere to be. You are exactly where you're supposed to be in this moment. And now I'd like you to bring to mind someone that you care about. Love them. This could be a person or a pet. Just noticing how that makes you feel. It'd be warmth, content. And now I'd like you to say the following phrases to them. May you be happy. May you be happy. May you be healthy.
Healthy.
May you be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
May you live with ease. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be safe. And now, this may be a little harder to do, but it has tremendous impact. To bring to mind somebody that maybe you have a resentment for or a dislike, if you're in an argument with this individual, and now speaking to them, may you be happy. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be safe. And now, for yourself. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be safe. Just allowing yourself just to settle, connecting with your breath, just noticing your inhale and exhale. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes, come back to us, and voila, you're healed.
Great stuff, John. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I think that's something that's really going to touch some people that need to hear that and go through that process. And John, it has been great speaking with you. You have a dynamic set of skills and stuff to offer, and your story is compelling. So we are incredibly grateful for your time here today, sharing that with us.
My pleasure. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here today. Thank you. Well,
and thank you for living the mission and for helping our brothers and sisters, just as we set out to do.
Yeah. You guys are doing awesome work. I appreciate this.
John, how can people get in touch with you? Where are you on the internet, social media, website, stuff like that?
Yeah. So email would be the greatest way. So john.vargo@o2x.com. And that's the easiest. I do have some social media accounts, but or you can learn more about TurnIn at turnin.life. And I'd also like to say, too, if please reach out to me if you need to talk about anything drinking or anything around alcohol or anything that I discussed today. I'd be more than happy to talk to anyone. I don't ever feel like you're bothering me. Like, this is what I want. This is it's important to me to speak with you and get back to you. So don't be hesitant at all about reaching out. So please do if you need to have any questions. And so thanks again.
Thank you. Be well.
This was great. Yeah. Remember to like and subscribe. YouTube, Responder Resilience, Facebook, Responder Wellness Inc., bbsradio.com, all the podcast platforms, and respondertv.com is our website, as the dog is playing with his ball in the background. Until the next time, stay safe, be kind to yourself, take care.